Our time in God's Word this morning is in John's Gospel. Our reading is John chapter 10, verses 22 through 42. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda. Remember that saying? We've actually probably lived that saying in our lives, haven't we? We missed the boat at some place along the way. We should have done something or did something, however that goes, to make something better for myself or for somebody else. Usually when we get older, it's usually about maybe something more personal, something more relational, something that, thank you, I was giving it time this time. Something more personal, relational, something that I could have done to make something better for somebody else or my relation with somebody else, or I could have been a better person. I could have loved better. That's when you get older, really, that isn't that what it comes down to? I could have loved better. I could have taken up what Jesus said to love God and to love people better and to believe in him and to trust in him. As Judy played, trust and obey. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. At the time the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you. I already did. Been there, done that. And you do not believe. You continue to not believe. Remember last week or two weeks ago, I'm losing track here a little bit, but we talked about this scene here, that if Jesus would have come out and said, grab your swords, grab your, you know, just gather the Israeli army, we're going to war, we're going to take care of those Jews, and I mean those Hebrews, and kick them out of our land, and we're going to, in other words, I'm going to do for you the things that you want to see me do, and you'll be really happy. You're going to love me. So we kind of look back and we go, maybe if I would have done more, somebody would have loved me more. Or God, worse yet in our lives, don't tell me you haven't been here because I'm there. God, you know, if you could do this for me, I think I could believe you more. I could love you more. I would go to the ends of the earth for you more. That's our flesh, isn't it? It's these fleshly desires that say, hey, you may be who you are, you're doing all kinds of miracles, but you need to tell me, you need to prove to me that you're the Christ, the one who will come in the flesh and get us out of my problem. Fix my problem. You see, they asked about his authority, 118, and he gave it. He healed the paralytic in chapter 5. He forgave a woman, which only God can do. He healed the blind man. Remember what the other man, the man said, no one has ever healed a blind. He confirmed the word of Moses. We're going to find out in the next week or two, he's going to raise the dead. That's not enough, Lord. You're not meeting my desires. I am the bread, the light, the door, the shepherd, the way to God, his plain words, and they say, can this be the Christ? we're sheep. That's why we're called sheep. You who are humble enough to sit under God's teaching, under his Bible, and in his spirit, we get this. Because we've been there, we've submitted to the Lord. I pray that you have submitted to the Lord and told him, I am not all that. I can't be all that. I have fleshly desires. I have problems. I do need you to meet them. But by the way, I'm lost. And I need you first and foremost. And I believe who you say you are. He came and did all of these wonderful works. What caused John the Baptist to go to the desert? Well, you say he was led there by the Spirit. He couldn't get a job at Walmart. No one would hire him. He didn't have what it took to be some kind of Microsoft tech guy or something. What drew him, what caused him to go in the wilderness? We say yeah, that's the, what the word said, he was going to go. Yes, I know that. But we're talking about a man who dressed like Elijah, wearing all that hair, that skin. He ate locusts and honey, and he went and lived in the desert. So today we would call that a kook. Somebody's lost their mind or lost their way. What caused this man to go? He was the son of a priest. His dad was Zechariah. He was from the tribe of Abijah, the priest. And Isaiah chapter 40 said he was chosen to prepare the way, that he would be a voice. He would be a voice. He wouldn't be a song and dance show. He wouldn't be a man of miracles. He did no miracles. Moses came. Moses did a lot of miracles. Moses was a type of Christ. Remember, he was the first prophet. There would be a second like him, Deuteronomy says. That would be Jesus. Moses came to show that there was a Christ coming. And so Moses was given the opportunity and the ability to do miracles that they would point to God and give him a name that people would say, like their his sister and his brothers and the people that were with him even afterwards would come up against him. He said, I'm sent by God. God is telling me and showing me and giving me this stuff to do. I'm pointing to God. Why didn't John the Baptist do miracles? Because Jesus was God. And he came as a voice. He only came and talked a lot. Sometimes, I mean, probably even more than I do on Sunday mornings. We could call John, come up and preach someday, and we'd be here probably all afternoon. He had to be able to talk like some people would say the wallpaper off a wall, right? He could talk. He could preach. And he baptized. People believed what he was saying. He was anointed. And he prepared the way. He was anointed to preach, and people went to him, but he did no miracles. He didn't have to. He was sent for a purpose and was given from what was above. So, John, here's your task. You're a son of a good man, a priest. You have the rights to go on and make a good life for yourself, but what I'd like you to do is give that all up and go to the desert, wear this kind of stuff, and baptize and preach a lot. And that's what I would like you to do. And he did it without hesitation. He did it because he was told to do it. Because it wasn't about him. It was about the one he was pointing to, just like Moses. I'm pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus was the one that did the miracles. Jesus was the one who was the miracle worker. They're written down. They're plain for you and me to hear that Jesus did these things. That he's greater than Moses, as Hebrews says. That he was the one to come. That he is, yes, the Messiah and the Christ on earth, but he's the Savior and the Lamb of God. And he proved it by what he did. It was to prove who he was, just like Moses. It proved who he was, and they still did not believe. Remember, miracles are to point to the Lord, to God, and to suggest that it is God who is behind it all, and Jesus did them himself. So the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself to be God. They acknowledged all his miracles. They had no problems with the works that he did, and they only had a problem that he did it on the Sabbath because he was the Lord of the Sabbath and he could do that. And that he did the works that no one else could do, and they're going to kill him for it. And those miracles could not save those people. You see, the crux of the matter is not the miracles. It's not what people think we need. It's not what people desire. It is not the lust of the flesh. It is who Jesus Christ said he was. I've told you before, and you don't believe me. He didn't say, let me do one more miracle. Let me do something greater, which he's going to do. He's going to soon raise Lazarus from the dead to prove who he is. And still, they would not come because he claimed to be somebody bigger than they expected, and they do not want to bow to this man. God incarnate. So, if I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I am doing them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works. In other words, believe the works and look to God, that you may know and understand that the Father is not just sent me, but in me. And I am in the Father. And basically he's saying, I'm one with the Father, I'm God incarnate, and that they could not deal with. Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Not seeing and yet believing. Now, the faith is the assurance of things not hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he can already see? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, there's more. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Look, they saw him. And he's going to say in chapter 20, you've seen me in the flesh? And he's going to say, and he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Those who have faith preserve their souls. You don't need a miracle. In fact, the ones who do need miracles only need a temporary miracle because it should point them to God, at which point they still have to believe. A miracle doesn't save anybody. John the Baptist did no miracle. And Jesus did them and they didn't believe. He said, when he's saying, you've seen me, and some have believed, he's going to tell his disciples, you've believed, but many others did not. So we don't need miracles. Why? Why did God choose the idea of faith to come to him? Why choose faith? Seeing only, again, it helps, but be careful. Seeing only fills fleshly desires. There's lots of verses on that too. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. Samson saw a harlot and went in. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the land that looked like God's and he desired it. Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the hands, he offered them money. He saw a miracle. He saw the Holy Spirit working. And he said, oh man, I can use that. Boy, I'll be popular and I'll make money. I'll make more money than I have to give. You see, seeing is temporarily used by God. The fleshly desires can be good, okay? I desire food. I'm hungry and I need food. We need to procreate and like the Lord said, and we need to do some of those things that God says it's okay to do within boundaries. We're not gluttons, we're not adulterers. We do these things as temporary things to fulfill God's plan in our life. And they hopefully continue to help us rely on the Lord. We lean on him. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I'm looking to you for these things that I desire and I need. But these things will not cause me to believe. They might help, but they are not your belief. The things that you receive from the Lord are not your belief. They are grace from above, because remember, it rains on the rich and the poor, the righteous and the unrighteous. We are on our way to the kingdom of God and already positionally in it because we believe. You simply believe. You don't need a miracle. It's interesting that God saw and it was good. God seeing, it was good. He has no desires that he needs to meet. He has nothing to fulfill. He is love, and he wants to fulfill. But it isn't going to be through a miracle. It's going to be through, ultimately, himself, the New Jerusalem, when Jesus Christ and the Father are there. And there's no light or no sea, and the trees bloom in their season because they are there. And because you have Jesus Christ and you are there, you have no needs. Seeing is believing only if it meets the desires of the one seeing it. Jesus, make this stone into bread, the devil said. And again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. It says in Mark, I think, 1 or 2, and they watched Jesus to see whether he... See, they're watching Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. And he looked around them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, because it's not a show. Church is not a show. And what I'm getting at is, listen, folks, you don't need, I've said that you don't need a miracle, but neither do your friends. Your family doesn't need a miracle. John the Baptist said, we can only use, and I'm paraphrasing, we are only given that from above, is the only thing that you're able to use. He was given no miracle. You don't need to perform a miracle. You need to know Jesus Christ and tell him what you know. If you can baptize him, have at it. Doesn't have to be in the desert. Take him down to the river. They don't need a miracle because you didn't get one. Did you need a miracle? I mean, I'm not saying that you didn't get one. We've all had them in some way, shape, or form. The miracle for me was that the Word of God came and convicted me by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We need convicted, and I am convicted that you are convicted. Your friends and your family need conviction. That I'm a sinner and I need help, and Jesus is the man he said he was. He performed all those miracles, I believe him. But he said, I am. I am. That's the story. And you, here's the thing. That's what you know. You realize that you know more than John the Baptist? Remember, greater is he. Greater is he who is in the kingdom than that man. See, Jesus said there's no greater man born than John the Baptist, but greater is he who is in the kingdom of God than that man. Why? Because he's dead, and he's buried, and he was before the church, and he's not part of the bride. And you are the bride of Christ. And you may have experienced his love, and you know his joy. And you know everything past. Let me get my list out here. You know everything past. Where is it? Matthew chapter 11. Mark chapter 6. Luke chapter 7. John chapter 3, because John the Baptist only lived then. And then the rest of those epistles and those gospels and the book of Acts came, and then you've experienced the Holy Spirit and you've lived in the church and you've lived 2,000 years and you've seen what John the Baptist prepared the way for. But now you know Jesus as the bride, and you know what he's done in the church, and you know the epistles and the gospels, and now you can put the Old Testament with the New Testament if you're reading them both. I hope you are. And you're understanding way more than John the Baptist did. You know much more than he did. So we don't need a show. Matthew 11, remember Jesus just tried to heal somebody on the Sabbath, and they watched, and he was angered. And then in Matthew chapter 11, we'll jump there, and it says, "What shall I compare this generation? It is like a children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you. You did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. You didn't perform for us." What does it mean? What they would do, actually, when somebody died, they would actually bring people in. They were paid mourners. They would come in to mourn. That was the religious tradition. So we paid you, and you didn't even dance. You wouldn't eat or drink and be merry with us. You wouldn't come in and mourn at our funerals. You didn't perform. Jesus, you're not performing. Does it matter to you or me if we see a miracle? The answer is no. Now, if the Lord gives us one, it matters to you. If he gives us somebody, and they're happening, we've talked to Ali and other things are happening because it gets them to God. But remember, that is temporary. They must believe. That's an experience. They must believe. We can only do what God has given us from above. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. James says, each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is lured away and enticed. Why do we have those miracle workers on TV? Why are they asking for money for miracles? Because they're preying on the lustful desires of people. And they're in every single one of us we have to guard. You remember Sammy Davis Jr.? Who remembers Sammy? Everybody raise your hand. I had his picture on here. I thought, well, that might be copyrighted. I won't do that. But he sang this song. And it just came into my mind as the Pharisees are saying, you know, you're not putting on a show for us. Sammy Davis says, all right, everybody, gather around. The candy man is here. What kind of candy do you want? Sweet chocolate, chocolate malted candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man. Nothing on Sammy. I liked him. But who can take the sunrise and sprinkle it with dew, cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two? Come on up here and dance for us. I know I'm making fun, but really it comes down to this, that if you can't physically prove to Jesus that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he can help me, I ain't listening to you. Is that bad English? I ain't listening to you. Who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew? Yeah, miracle or two. Oh, the candy man can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. You can take a rainbow, wrap it in a sigh, soak it in the sun, and make a groovy lemon pie. I like lemon pie. Love lemon pie. Who makes those? The candy man. Oh, who can take tomorrow? Oh, man, now we're getting some, right? We're getting into the future, and I need to, oh, man, I've got help, and I see troubles coming, and come on, candy man. Oh, who can take tomorrow, dip it in a dream, separate the sorrow, and collect all the cream? The candy man. Again, nothing wrong with the song. It's fun. Get up and dance, do it. I don't care. But this is kind of, if you think about it, how some of the church goes along with church. Let me meet your desires so that you can be happy about Jesus. And you'll accept him. And you'll believe if I can dance, if I can do a good sermon, or if I could, whatever, if I can dance, you'll believe, right? And they come and they go. They come and they go. I was looking again, as I do sometimes, and I came across a song, another song, by Phoebe Snow. And I put that part on the left. We are sorry for the inconvenience, but there is, and the name of her song is No Show Tonight. No show tonight. No, the music won't sound right. The audience is being impolite, and I can't act tonight. Don't make me. I can't act tonight, and all I can act is blue. I really mean it, and no stand-in will do. Take back your Oscar. He'd rewrite the script for me. Let me fly away soon and give me back my toy balloon. He's got me grounded in my dressing room. There's no show tonight. I'm not going to be able to dance for you. I'm sorry. It doesn't do any good anyway. The key here is that what Jesus said, this is wonderful. This is awesome. This is the key for the last several weeks. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They don't watch me dance. In fact, they don't even want me to. You don't want me dancing. You definitely don't want the pastor dancing. People pay miracles. I mean, money for miracles. So that they could believe? Do miracles have to happen to us? And the answer is no. I don't need any toy balloons or any candy. I need Jesus. And I believe what he said, and yes, what he did. I believe. What did John the Baptist know? This is the testimony of John. This is scriptural, by the way. This is exactly what it says. This is a quote. And this is the testimony of John. John, what did you know? What can we use? Listen, folks. While I hope that you're studying and going to every Bible study we got and more. Go to a good church and visit sometime or whatever. Learn. Wherever it takes to learn. I hope you're in your Bible. But listen. This is what John knew, and this is what sent people to Jesus. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests, his own people. That was a quotation. I mean, a parenthesis. And Levites from Jerusalem to him. Who are you? Who are you? Can you dance for us? Are you the candy man? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. Sorry, no miracles today. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not. I'm not the prophet. And he answered, no. Sorry, no show today. So they said to him, who are you then? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice. I'm not the miracle. I don't do miracles. I'm not the miracle worker. I'm not the candy man. I am the voice. You are the voice. You don't need miracles. You don't need to do something or even argue beyond the point of reason or scripture or what if, even what you know. Because the Holy Spirit says he will come beside you and be with you and in you. And when you open up what you know about Jesus Christ, he convicts them of sin. All you have to do is be a voice. I can't persuade them. They won't listen to me. I can't do enough. I can't take them to the right church. They don't like our church. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. They need your voice and for you to tell them who Jesus is. And if you want to tell them what he did, that would be fine because that's proofs of who he was. But the Holy Spirit will do the work. No shows. We don't need them. So they said to him, who are you? I am the voice. Here's what we can learn from John. He said, therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. I'm happy in my work. He must increase and I must decrease. No shows. He who comes from above is above all, Jesus. He who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in earthly ways. I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love for God and man. It's nothing. It doesn't matter. That song this morning, a wonderful song. I love There Is a Fountain. Love those songs. I love my hymns, these hymns. I call them mine. But listen to this that I caught this morning. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing, the power to save. I love that line. I know what it means. When I'm dead and I'm up there, I'm singing to Jesus. But listen, friends, that doesn't do any good to somebody who is still left behind. So I have a lisping, let's say I can't even talk. I have a lisping, stammering tongue. I'm going to use it then? No. Now. Get past our fears. Get past, well, the last time I talked to them, they didn't listen. Be like a Nehemiah. You know, somebody comes up and you get this conviction, and Nehemiah whispered to the Lord, Lord, be with me. And go. Say what's on your heart. Say what you know. I haven't talked to my little sister, who's 10 years behind me, for a long time. She is an atheist, I think. New Age, some. Her husband's a priest marrying people. He wears something, but it's a black witch kind of stuff. Haven't talked to her for a long time. And she texted me last night. Some questions about my Air Force career and what happened. And so I had to do some memory thinking and all that stuff. It was a fun little jaunt. And then I got to the end of this. She said something flattering, which is not really our relationship. So I said, you realize, because she was talking, she made a joke about my age. And then I said, she said, well, now you're reminding me how old I am. And then I said, you realize that the death rate is 100%. We're all headed for the grave. We're all headed for the grave. And then I said, I'll just tell you what I said. I said, I can't wait to look in the face of Jesus Christ. And that stuff, the conversations between me and her, just don't go there. I mean, I could have said, hey, Briani, I'll get right back to you, put it down, go get on my knees and say, Lord, give me a miracle right now. Get on the phone and say, hey, Briani, in about 10 seconds, a brand new Mercedes is going to drive up here. I mean, something dumb, you know. It's not what I had. I don't have anything. But I have the hope of the face of Jesus Christ right here. And I won't mind looking at his feet when I bow either. And that's what we have. That's what we have. There isn't enough money. There isn't enough time. There isn't the right words. There isn't the right miracle to say, except that you know who's going to save your soul and theirs as well. Do not be afraid. Now, if you've been given the miracles, do them when inspired by the Lord. And I believe in them wholeheartedly, by the way. I believe in the anointing of preaching and teaching and all these things. The gifts of healing when it's given to them. But Jesus said they need to hear my voice and believe. That's the only task you have. As you believe. It's the only task you have with your lisping, stammering tongues. Because that's what we have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for any heart here that has not believed. May you believe today. I pray for every heart here that is afraid, that is concerned about saying the name of Jesus Christ. As the darkness closes in on us, Lord, and so many Christians are dying for their faith and giving their life, you've given the one life a ransom for many. And that much we know. We are after the cross, and we know even more than John. May we be a voice. Prepare the way for your second coming. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.